Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 1.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful.
Verse 2.
Alif Lam Mim.
Alif Lam Mim. Footnote 16. Abbreviations like Alif Lam Mim are known as Al-Muqattat, letters used and pronounced separately, and occur in the beginning of not less than 28 surahs, and are made up of one or more to a maximum of 5 letters of the Arabic alphabet. The letters out of which these abbreviations are constituted are 14 in number. Alif, Lam, Mim, Sad, Ra, Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ain, Ta, Sin, Ha, Qaf, and Noon. Of these, Qaf and Noon occur alone in the beginning of surahs Qaf and Qalam. The rest occur in combinations of 2 or more in the beginning of certain surahs. The use of muqattat was in vogue among the Arabs. They use them in their poems and conversation. An Arab poet says, قُلْنَا قِفِيلَنَا فَقَالَتْ قَاف, i.e., we said to her, stop for us for a while, and she said that she was stopping. The letter Qaf, standing for waqaftu, I am stopping. There is also a saying of the Holy Prophet, as reported by Qurtubi, to the effect, kafa bisayfi sha, i.e., sufficient is sword as a remedy. Sha standing for shafiyan. In the modern West and in its imitation in Eastern countries, also abbreviations are very popular and widespread. Every dictionary provides a list of them. The muqattat are abbreviations for specific attributes of God, and the subject matter of a surah before which they are placed has a deep connection with the divine attributes for which they stand. They have not been haphazardly placed at the beginning of different surahs, nor are their letters combined arbitrarily. There runs a deep and far-reaching connection between their various sets, and the letters of which they are made also serve a definite purpose. The subject matter of those chapters which have no abbreviated letters is subordinate to and follows the pattern of the subject matter of the preceding chapters possessing them. Of the meanings ascribed to muqattat, 2 seem to be more authentic. A. That each letter has a definite numerical value, jadir. The letters alif lam mim have the numerical value 71, alif having the numerical value 1, lam 30, and mim 40. Thus, the placing of Alif Lam Mim in the beginning of the surah may signify that its subject matter, i.e. the special consolidation of early Islam, would take 71 years to unfold itself completely. And B, they are, as stated above, abbreviations for specific attributes of God, and the surah before which muqattat are placed is, in its subject matter, connected with the divine attributes for which the specific muqattat stand. Thus the abbreviation Alif Lam Mim, placed here and in the beginning of the 3rd, 29th, 30th, 31st and 32nd chapters of the Quran signifies, I am Allah, the All-Knowing, which has the authority of Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud. Alif, standing for Ana, Lam for Allah, and Mim for A'lamu. Or according to some, Alif stands for Allah, Lam for Jibreel, and Mim for Muhammad, indicating that the central theme of the surah is divine knowledge, which was given to Muhammad by Allah through Jibreel. These abbreviated letters form an integral part of the Quranic revelation. Bukhari.
Verse 3.
ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين.
This is a perfect book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the righteous. Footnote 17. Dhalika is primarily used in the sense of that, but is also sometimes used in the sense of this. Aqrab. Sometimes it is used to indicate the high rank and dignity of the subject to which it refers. Here, it signifies that the book is, as it were, remote from the reader in eminence and loftiness of merit. Fath. Footnote 17a. The particle al, like the definite article the in the English language, is used to denote a definite object known to the reader. In this sense, the word dhalika al-kitabu would mean this is the book, or this is that book, the promised book. The particle is also used to denote the combination of all possible attributes in one individual. The expression thus means, this is a book which possesses all those excellent qualities which a perfect book should possess. Or it means, this alone is a perfect book. Footnote 18. Raib means disquietude or uneasiness of mind, doubt, affliction or calamity, and evil opinion, false charge or calumny. Aqrab. The verse does not mean that nobody will ever entertain any doubt about the Quran. It only means that its teaching is so rational that a right-thinking person who approaches it with an unbiased mind will find it a safe and sure guide. Footnote 19. Muttaqi is derived from waqar, which has the sense of guarding against that which harms or injures. Wiqaya means a shield, and ittaqa bihi, muttaqi is the nominative case of ittaqa, means he took him or it as a shield. Lane. Ubay bin Ka'b, a distinguished companion of the Holy Prophet, aptly explains taqwa by likening muttaqi to one who walks through thorny bushes, taking all possible care that his clothes are not caught in and torn by their branches. Kathir. A muttaqi, therefore, is one who is ever on his guard against sins and takes God for his shield or shelter and is very regardful of his duty. The words "a guidance for the righteous" mean that guidance contained in the Quran knows no limit. It helps man to attain limitless stages of spiritual perfection and makes him more and more deserving of God's favours.
Verse 4.
الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ
Who believe in the unseen and observe prayer and spend out of what we have provided for them. Footnote 20. Al-Ghaib means anything hidden or invisible, anything unseen, absent or far away. Aqrab. God, the angels and the last day are all Al-Ghaib. Moreover, the word as used in the Quran does not mean imaginary and unreal things, but real and verified things, though unseen. Chapter 32, verse 7, and chapter 49, verse 19. It is therefore wrong to suppose, as some Western critics of the Quran do, that Islam forces upon its followers some mysteries of faith and invites them to believe in them blindly. The word signifies things which, though beyond the comprehension of human senses, can nevertheless be proved by reason or experience. The supersensible need not necessarily be irrational. Nothing of the unseen in which a Muslim is called upon to believe is outside the scope of reason. There are many things in the world which, though unseen, are yet proved to exist by invincible arguments, and nobody can deny their existence. Footnote 21. The clause, "they observe prayer," means they perform their prayers with all the prescribed conditions. Agama meaning he kept the thing or the affair in a right state. Lane. Worship is the outer expression of the inner relationship of man to God. Moreover, God's favors surround the body as well as the soul. So, perfect worship is that in which body and soul both play their part. Without the two, the true spirit of worship cannot be preserved. For though adoration by the heart is the substance and adoration by the body only the shell, yet the substance cannot be preserved without the shell. If the shell is destroyed, the substance is bound to meet with a similar fate. Footnote 22. Rizq means anything bestowed by God on man, whether material or otherwise. Mufradat. The verse lays down three directions and describes three stages for the spiritual well-being of man. Number one, he should believe in the truths which are hidden from his eyes and are beyond his physical senses, for it is such a belief which shows that he is possessed of the right sort of taqwa or righteousness. Number two, when he reflects on the creation of the universe and the marvelous order and design which exist in it, and when, as a result of this reflection, he becomes convinced of the existence of the Creator, an irresistible longing to have a real and true union with him takes hold of him. This finds consummation in the observance of prayer. Number three, lastly, when the believer succeeds in establishing a living contact with his Creator, he feels an inward urge to serve his fellow beings.
Verse 5.
والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون.
And who believe in that which has been revealed to thee, and that which was revealed before thee, and they have firm faith in the hereafter. Footnote 23. Belief in the Holy Prophet is the central point so far as belief in the prophets of God is concerned. Chapter 2, verse 286, chapter 4, verses 66 and 137. Footnote 24. Islam makes it obligatory upon its followers to believe in the divine origin of the teachings of all previous prophets, because God sent his messengers to all peoples. Chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 35, verse 25. Footnote 25. Al-Akhirah means A. the last abode, i.e. the next life. B. It may also signify the revelation which is to follow. This second meaning of the word finds further exposition in chapter 62, verses 3 and 4, where the Quran speaks of two advents of the Holy Prophet. His first advent took place among the Arabs in the 7th century of the Christian era, when the Quran was revealed to him, and his second advent was to take place in the latter days in the person of one of his followers. This prophecy found its fulfillment in the person of Ahmed, the promised Messiah and founder of the Ahmadiyya movement.
Verse 6.
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
It is they who follow the guidance from their Lord, and it is they who shall prosper.
Verse 7
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ
Those who have disbelieved, it being alike to them whether thou warn them or warn them not, they will not believe. Footnote 26 The verse speaks of such disbelievers as become so indifferent to truth that it does not matter whether they receive a warning or not. Of these, it is declared that as long as their present condition continues, they will not believe.
Verse 8
ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وَعَلَىٰ أَبَصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ
Allah has set a seal on their hearts and their ears, and over their eyes is a covering, and for them is a grievous chastisement. Footnote 27 Organs which remain unused for a long time atrophy, and become useless. The disbelievers mentioned here refuse to employ their hearts and ears for the comprehension of truth. Consequently, their capacities for hearing and understanding were lost. It is only the natural consequence of willful indifference, which is described in the clause, Allah has set a seal. As all laws proceed from God and every cause is followed by its natural effect under His will, so the sealing of the hearts and the ears of disbelievers is ascribed to Him.